Well, if you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Jonah. We continue our trek through this wonderful prophet. And this afternoon, we will be considering verses 11 through 13 of chapter 1. I'll be backing up to verse 10 for context this afternoon. But before we hear the preaching of the word, let us go before him in prayer, asking for his blessing and illumination of our hearts and minds to the truth of his word. Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before you now thanking you for this, your word, and we pray that you would grant us your spirit, that your spirit would open our eyes and our understanding to the truths in this passage, in your very word, which is complete truth, inerrant, infallible. And we thank you for it, Lord, and we pray that you would teach us and encourage us now by what we hear and understand. Lord, may we be doers of your word and not hearers only. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. Hear now the word of God. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not. For the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word. Well, beloved in our Lord, last week we considered Jonah's being found out. Jonah was on the ship with the sailors heading to Tarshish. God hurled a tempest on the sea. The sailors were greatly afraid and cast lots to determine who was the cause of the storm. And the lots fell on Jonah. The sailors then examined Jonah, asking him five questions. And Jonah responded by telling them the truth. And in doing so, he confessed his faith as well as his sin to these men. And then the sailors were exceedingly afraid. And they asked him why he had done this. And so in today's text, we see that these sailors asked Jonah what they must do to calm the storm. Jonah recognized and took responsibility for his sin and its consequences in their situation. Jonah knew that there was no way out, and so he told them what they must do. In verse 11, the sailors asked Jonah, "What should we do?" And in the midst of their rising fear, the sea still raging on and getting worse, their ship was on the verge of breaking up. Their lives were in peril. And so they asked the question, "What do we have to do to you to calm this storm?" They wanted the sea to be calm and put it together that they needed to do something to Jonah in order for that to happen. My friends, confession and repentance doesn't always stop correction immediately. Jonah confessed to the sailors what he did in running from God, and we will see the details of his prayer to the Lord in chapter 2 as well. He was sorrowful for what he had done. However, in enduring the consequences of his sin, there would be deeper lessons for him yet to learn. Have you experienced that, children? Have you ever sinned in such a way that you received discipline and yet the discipline wasn't completely over upon your confession and repentance from your sin? Sometimes you sin, you're disciplined, you're brought into the loving arms of your parents, you're forgiven, things are okay. However, there are other times, maybe, when you have violated their trust, that you are immediately disciplined, but yet there is still some type of ongoing discipline. Their trust in you has been compromised, and so your privileges have been restricted, for example. Those restrictions go on for as long as your father and mother believe it right and good for your benefit. That is what our Heavenly Father often does as well. Though He chastens and forgives us, we may have to live with the consequences of our sin for a time. And sometimes His chastening continues for a time. He does what is good and right to teach us to turn from that sin. Consider what the psalmist said in Psalm 99, verse 8, speaking of the people of God corporately as they wandered through the wilderness. He said there, "You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds." You know, it's interesting that in their questioning of Jonah, these sailors not only found him to be the cause of the problem, but they also looked to him for the solution to their problem. We don't see that often, do we? Typically, the guilty party isn't asked for the solution. The solution is typically determined by others, and the guilty party is told what will happen. But the sailors saw that Jonah was honest in his answers to them. They recognized that he was a penitent man, and they now knew of his relationship with and fear of the living God. And therefore, they believed that Jonah might may be credible and wise in knowing what to do to calm the sea. Surely the sailors had no viable solutions, evidenced by the sea becoming worse and worse in all their attempts. And so we see their continued dialogue with Jonah. The sailors asked what should be done, and Jonah told them what they needed to do. In verse 12, he said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this tempest is because of me." So here in verse 12, Jonah reads his own doom. He takes responsibility. He issues and pronounces the sentence against himself. He acts as judge in his own case. This is the language of a man who is truly repentant, who desires that no one other than himself be punished for his sin. Notice Jonah said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea." Couldn't Jonah have jumped overboard himself? Physically, yes, he could have done that. However, that would have not been the right course of action. The sailors were to pick him up and throw him in as an act of judgment against his sin. Further, keep in mind that Jonah is speaking as a prophet of God, not as one who wanted to die rather than go to Nineveh. His conscience was awoken by God. He knew there was nothing that would calm the sea but parting from the sin that caused the disturbance. Jonah in this verse is much like David, when David repented of numbering the people of Israel. After he had sinned against God, after David had to respond to the chastening of God's hand upon the people of God for his sin, David could say this in 1 Chronicles 21:17. It says, "And David said to God, 'Was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued.'" Here we see David beseeched God to not take it out on the people. He was the one who sinned. And so David asked God to chasten him and his house. Jonah, amongst the pagan sailors, did something similar. He was the one. He told the sailors to cast him overboard. And notice the sacrificial nature of Jonah's words. His life for theirs. Our Lord Jesus Christ had a similar disposition when he went to the cross. His life for ours. He died that we would have life and have it abundantly. Yet he didn't die for his own sin, but paid for ours in full. There's no evidence in the text that Jonah expected to be brought to land safely. It appears that he was prepared at this point for death. Jonah said, "For I know that this great tempest is because of me." How he knew, we don't know for sure. However, we can be confident that he knew it was him. Remember, he was a prophet. God informed him that he was the reason. And so Jonah, through this affliction, learned afresh to walk humbly with his God, even if that meant his death. Remember Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." As God, through Micah, speaks, he tells us the core of godliness. And so Jonah, through this chastening, was brought to humility. My friends, sin must be punished. Just as Jonah was to be thrown into the sea, our sin must be dealt with. And indeed it was, once and for all, on Calvary's cross by our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we recognize what we ought to feel when our sin is the reason for others' suffering. If this type of situation doesn't affect us, if we really don't care very much, that's a problem. Our sorrow for our sin should be heightened as we consider how it has affected others. You know, our own family members, if we are honest with ourselves, sadly, our own family members are often the people we sin against the most. And sadly, sometimes we care the least about how our sin affects them. Think about that for a moment. How should we feel when our sin is the reason for other people's suffering? How should we feel when we are sinning against those that we are to love the most, even those in our own family, even those that are friends, even those that are a part of our church family and beyond? We should hate sin, just as God hates sin. We should love one another, just as God has so deeply loved us in Christ. So notice in verse 13, the sailor's response to Jonah's solution. Jonah says, "Cast me overboard." And notice what the sailors do. "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them." In other words, they tried desperately to get to shore. They heard what Jonah said. But even after the prophet of God said that they needed to cast him overboard for the sea to calm, nevertheless, it says they rowed hard to bring the ship to land. They wanted to save themselves without harming Jonah. They did all they could to not cast him overboard. They were afraid of being guilty of his blood. They attempted. And what did they find? They couldn't do it. The sea's rage grew worse. Here we see this, yet again, these attempts by these pagan sailors to handle this raging sea, to calm this raging sea. First, they threw all their stuff overboard. They prayed to their false gods, and their false gods did nothing because they're lifeless and dead. Didn't work. God's storm raged on. Here they row hard, and it still grows worse. Here we see their humanity, the humanity of natural, unbelieving men. They rowed hard, and the Hebrew word for this word hard means to dig. It implies hard work, digging in. It may very well mean that those who were rowing, when the sails weren't doing what they needed to do, they put the rows in the water and they really dug the oars in deep. They didn't just row the surface of the water, but they gave it all they could to get to shore without having to throw Jonah overboard. And yet all the endeavors of men cannot thwart the plan of God. Jonah ran, didn't stop it. The sailors threw their cargo overboard, didn't help. They rowed hard for the shore, didn't work. God would have them throw Jonah overboard. God had a plan. And we will see next week that God prepared a great fish to come and swallow Jonah, and it had a purpose. So as hard as the sailors worked, they couldn't thwart God's plan. Remember what Paul tells the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12, when he said, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ to be to the praise of his glory." Our God works all things according to the counsel of his will. I'll leave you with these thoughts. Beloved, do you believe that God knows what is needed and necessary, what is good, what is for your benefit, to teach you, to sanctify you, to stop you when necessary, to grow you, even through discipline, so that you will turn from sin and turn to him? Yes. Believe that this day. If God's purposes and work in your spiritual growth are a new thought to you, consider and meditate on this passage and spend time in prayer with him. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are in him, reconciled with the Father, our Lord chastens and disciplines us like a father does his children. And be thankful for that. Be thankful for that. Do you trust in him and therefore trust his plan to bring about correction and growth in your life? Jonah trusted in the Lord. Jonah recognized his sin and submitted to God for discipline instead of continuing to run. Likewise, we must take responsibility for our sins, trusting and submitting to God in the midst of chastening and discipline as well. May God grant us grace indeed to do this. Praise God for his word. Let us pray.